back to the Around the Diamond podcast with your host, Sam Edwards, episode 221, the podcast for the baseball nerd. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode, folks. I appreciate it. We've got, you know, every baseball podcast is covering, guys. I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani, it's Juan Soto, it's every single deal that has happened over the past week covered in one pod. It's going to be fantastic. And because of the Juan Soto news, I had to get a Yankee fan on here. And for the third time on the Around the Diamond podcast, it's And That's Baseball. Jacob, how are we doing, bro?
I'm feeling good. Am I the first three-peat on this podcast, or have there been...
You know, don't pat yourself on the back too much. We've had a couple others that have three-peated, if not more than that. So shout out Mike Gilligan, Matty Kiwoom, a couple of our three-timers at least. But you're in the Hall of Fame as of right now for Around the Diamond. Yeah. So, okay. You know, listen, sleep well tonight, okay? Because you've made the echelon.
I feel the honor. I feel the pride. Like my grandkids are going to learn about three-time Around the Diamond appearance from your papa.
Third and final appearance, absolutely. Yeah. Final, so this is the send off. He's gonna get too big. Yeah, he's gonna get too big eventually. He's gonna start charging.
By the time you're doing your, I always come on for the second baseman rankings because I played second base my whole life, and that's my position, right? And it's fun. I think this past year's my rankings ended up being pretty like all right, but the year before that my rankings ended up being terrible. After I did it going into 2022, and then that year was like wacky for second baseman. But regardless, if you want to get me back, you're gonna have to pay me an exorbitant fee in like February, March, whenever you want to do the second baseman tier list.
Otherwise
you're flying solo. So
honestly, yeah, and speaking of fly, I'm planning on flying you out for that episode actually. I've been saving for a while. It's, you know, I kind of put off the whole family and kids thing because it was like I've got to get Jacob back on for top 10 second base list. Before we get there, we've got a lot of news to cover on this episode. It's going to be freaking fantastic. And let's start off with the big one. David Fletcher to the Braves. Ridiculous, you know? Absolutely insane. How did you feel seeing that news?
I mean, they needed Nicky Lopez. They needed a replacement for him.
Right.
Someone that can, like, fill in for pretty much any infield position. Someone who could slap the ball across all fields.
And pure hitter.
And they didn't trade anyone to get him, really. They traded Evan White, who's a bad deal. He's been hurt, hasn't really played an MLB game in a couple years.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a pretty good deal from Anthopoulos. And once they put him in the cheating lab, once they start feeding him those balls with magnets, I don't know if I've ever told you this theory. My theory is that Truist Park has a system of magnets that directs the balls away from the opposing team's fielders.
Interesting.
And also into the chop house in right field. So
interesting.
That's
all we have for today, guys.
I'm too radical for you now.
Way too out there.
That's how you get.
Sorry, the clips. I forgot. All right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Keep going.
Genuinely believe this. Like I watched the Yankees Braves series. I think it was Clark Schmidt was pitching. He allowed like a dozen hits that game. And all of them were like, I was looking at the stat cast. All of them were like 150 XBA, and they kept on getting through. There was like little choppers that would get through every single time. There's little floaters going over second base. Like it was ridiculous. They definitely are cheating.
Because the one thing the Yankees were known for was their defense. Yeah, absolutely. Shohei Ohtani signing with the Dodgers, 10 years, $700 million.
There's funny saga.
Bro, there's so much here. First of all, it's the largest guarantee in sports history, $700 million. Yeah. It's mostly deferred. I don't know what that means. I don't know how much that means, but it's mostly deferred. That's what it says.
The Dodgers they're building their team like the Nationals. That's a classic Nationals move, the money deferral. Doing it with contracts. Three times bigger than the Nationals' biggest contract ever. So.
Right. My guess is that he probably still has the biggest contract in baseball history, probably the highest AAV. And then roughly whatever gets him over that hump, and then maybe a lot of it is deferred. So maybe, I don't even know.
I mean, if half of it's deferred, he still has like the highest AAV for a contract more than like 2 or 3 years. So
yeah,
the funniest thing I think about that deal was obviously the lead up to it. Everyone knows what we're talking about, like the Morosi, the flight tracking.
Oh my gosh,
that was such a fun saga, and felt terrible. Like I obviously, as a Yankees fan, it's like I don't have any love lost for Blue Jays or their fan base, but that I feel for them right now, man. Like that's the flight tracking stuff is ridiculous to begin with. And it's like, I sort of want to blame, like, oh, you were tracking a random private jet. That's one thing. But then when an accredited reporter comes on, that the league, it's the leagues where he works for MLB or MLB Network, or whatever.
Right.
He's like their guy.
Yeah.
For him to come on and corroborate that ridiculousness just to give the Jays fans the false hope is. It's like watching a train wreck after the fact.
Yeah. As a Red Sox fan, I'm happy. I'm happy it's false, okay? I didn't want Shohei to come into the AL East. Like, yeah, don't want that whatsoever. I do feel for Blue Jays fans. I thought this entire time, he's a Dodger, he's going to sign with the Dodgers. Yeah. And then as we got closer, and even when Morosi posted it was like, it just something about it didn't feel quite right. It's like, I think I'm going to wait till Passan tweets it. Like, I'm just going to wait for Passan to drop the bomb. And then it'll be like, wow, can't believe the Blue Jays pulled it off. You know, it's like before the contract even comes out, like that's why it feels like a leak, is because the contract isn't released yet. It's like, it feels like he's trying to get the scoop. But like you said, he is working for, is it MLB.com? Or MLB Network.
MLB.com.
Okay. But, either one. I mean, he's working for something bigger than himself. Mm-hmm. Morosi's always been fairly trustworthy. He's not like my go-to guy, but he's definitely like better than Nightingale or Heyman, you know?
That brings me to my favorite part of all this. Bob Nightingale being the savior who says, hang on, he's not on his way to Toronto. He's not in the air. He's not landed in Toronto. He's still at his home in SoCal.
Yep.
And then the funniest thing is the next day, once it was official, he was going to the Dodgers, Nightingale writes this piece about how journalistic integrity needs to return to the baseball world. And it's like, Bob, you can start with spell checking your tweets, first of all. You want to talk about journalistic integrity. I don't think that fits the AP style guide, the way you tweet those. Like, it's comical. That's like, I put out a tweet. I deleted it real quickly after, because it was kind of in bad taste. I said it's like if OJ wrote a column about how to not kill your wife. this is the guy that you're responsible for this issue, Bob. Right. You're the one saying, "Oh, we need a return to good journalism." So you had the same fumble with the lockout a year and a half ago,
right?
The exact fumble.
Right. To take this as an opportunity to kind of, you know, puff out your chest almost.
He's victory lapping.
Right. It just feels, it feels like kids on, you know, the playground when you're like, ha, that kid looks stupid. You know, it's like, what are we doing here, boys? Like, well, holy crap.
It's like the fat kid calling you fat. It's like, well, hang on.
Hold up.
You seen a mirror lately?
Right. It's like just a year ago, he was like, he weighed more than you, and now all of a sudden he's laughing at you, and you're like, wait, hold up. Wait a second.
Exactly.
Let's keep score here. Yeah. I mean, the whole flight tracking thing, I mean, it's so crazy, but it's definitely in the moment you're reading it, and you're like, oh, wait a second.
It's
hold
fun
on.
To keep up with.
And then you keep reading the start, and you're like, oh, okay. And then you're like missing where they like jump, you know, they take a jump of belief, and you're like, okay.
Well, if you're Jays fan, you're just eating this up. You're like, oh,
you're
he's
in
coming.
It. He's right. Like, you're in it. And then Morosi comes out, and you're like, oh my goodness. And then literally like everybody's talking about it. Like it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like every tweet just felt like, it's done now. You know,
that was my thing,
the Blue Jays.
This is a great transition, right? That was my thing with the Soto trade, where you kept on seeing throughout. It was like a 2 or 3 day window where everything was like, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. This is going to happen. It's a matter of medicals. This is going to happen. It's a matter of maybe the Padres want one more piece. It's going to happen. But it was basically in pinstripes. And it's like, as a Yankees fan, I'm getting more and more excited, but I'm like, I don't want to I don't want to get too lost in the sauce, because if you don't believe anything until one of two things has to happen. One, Jeff Passan tweets it out. That if that happens, you know, all right,
you're legit.
This just happened. It's legitimate. This is a canon event now. It really happened. And the second thing is, if you have a really trusted local reporter for your team and they're reporting on it, then I think that's when you can kind of buy into it.
Sure. Absolutely. Before we get to the Soto trade, I just want to get your take on Shohei Ohtani here. When you saw $700 million, what was your impression of what he was going to get?
So,
and then $700 comes out.
Going into this all, I kind of had the number like 600 or 650 is like the ceiling number.
Yeah.
But then when 700 comes out, I'm like, okay, it's Shohei Ohtani. It wasn't that shocking to me. And that's the crazy. That's how good he is. That's how big of a name he is. That's how much revenue he's going to bring in for the Dodgers. Okay, $700 million. Here you go. UCL in shredded. Who cares? $700 million. Right.
How much does he get if he doesn't have that Tommy John surgery to end his season?
I don't think it affects it that much, honestly.
You don't think so?
Maybe less deferred money, maybe 750, 800, maybe. But I don't know. I feel like he probably reached what they were willing to spend. He probably reached that ceiling.
Right.
Even if he had that more of a stable future as a pitcher, I think
sure.
There has to be some type of limit for these teams. And.
Right. But, 700 feels like it. Like, yeah. I think, coming into it, I was thinking 500 to 600. That was my mindset. I think I was thinking right around 600 would be the ceiling. Rightfully so. Like, I think I still would have been extremely shocked if it was 650. And I think one of the more shocking parts was that it was 10 years. I think the 10 years, I don't know, I was just like, there's a combination of the total 700 mil with 10 years. Like, we're used to seeing, like, it's like when, you know, Harper's contract comes out and you're like, oh, wait a second. It's, you know, 13 years, you know, let's calm down a little bit. It spreads out this way. And then as you delve into it, you're like, oh, it feels more realistic.
Harper's AAV right now is horrible. Like, that's
right.
He's making like what Matt Chapman's going to be making next year. And you've seen it recently. He said, he's like, I want to get an extension done. It's like, bro, you're in like year 4 of 13. Why would they extend you further than your age 32?
Right.
And that's obviously Boris is like, shit, we really fucked up this one, huh? We got to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that and a combination of like, he wanted to be with one team, it sounds like. It sounds like he didn't want to move around or anything. Yeah. And it does, I mean, he loves Philly, so that works too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Bryce is super thrilled about it, but
the idea
that a few years after the contract is signed, it doesn't feel that big anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a little bit disappointing, I guess, for someone who he's the second best player of the generation behind Trout, in terms of notoriety. Right.
Sure.
So I think he would have liked to get something that more like what Trout ended up getting with the Angels.
Sure.
$400 million range.
Right. Now, Ohtani's not going to be pitching in 2024.
Yes.
And the hope is that he's able to come back in 2025 and do what he does. I mean, this year, even pitching-wise, he did take a slight step back. Got a little roughed up in the homer department, 1.23 home runs per nine. Still a 3.14 ERA, but a fairly much higher four FIP. Mm-hmm. The BABIP was 2.39, like very, very low for a guy like this. I'm not going to say, is he worth this contract? Because I think he is, and I think that's kind of I don't know a number, because it's like it's all unknown to us, especially with just how much off the field money any team is going to get from Shohei Ohtani. I don't know it. I would love to know the business of that, but it's like guessing anything in the business world that isn't, you know, forthright. I don't know even what that looks like.
Yeah.
The fact that they could make money on this deal, like it's just crazy. Just with everything that he brings, it's amazing. Not only what's on the field, which he is an amazing hitter. With that hitting, does he does he put the Dodgers over the top? Like, they do still need some pitching.
Yes.
But are they the World Series favorite right now? What do you think?
I think the first thing I tweeted out after Ohtani signed with them was a picture of the Dodgers roster resource, their pitching staff. It's not looking good right now.
Right.
I'm assuming, I don't know, Kershaw could end up going to the Rangers. But I'm assuming he comes back to LA, and even with that, he's out, I think, until June or July. He's like, was it a shoulder or back, something like that?
Yep,
he's,
yep.
This is some, his injury track record over the last few years, this is not something that goes away. Right. He's going to have these things forever as long as he continues to pitch.
Sure.
The guy could retire now, be a Hall of Famer, first ballot easily. He's the best pitcher of the generation, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But, and he's still really good. He's still pretty good when he pitches. This past year, I know his underlying stats didn't support his ERA exactly, but when he's on, he's still on. Mm-hmm. The only issue is I don't know how many more years can you get this guy pitching into October? How many more times can you run him out there in October and expect more than four innings?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in a game that's moving away from starting pitching. So I think the Dodgers are a smart organization. Andrew Friedman's going to be able to figure out how to get these innings somehow.
Right.
Especially for October, he's probably going to assemble a phenomenal bullpen. They're only going to need their starters to go for maybe even four innings. And then they'll have guys behind them the whole rest of the way. But it's tough. It's tough to win 100 games. It's tough to get that bye. It's tough to win in the postseason without having at least two or maybe three really good starters. And I don't think they have that right now. I really like Bobby Miller, though. I will say that right now. I think Bobby Miller is about to have a phenomenal year. I think he has great underlying stuff. I think his repertoire is nice. I think he's gonna be their ace of the future.
Yeah.
And then you have guys like Buehler and May who have both had serious arm issues, and you don't know where they're gonna be next year. And then beyond that, a ton of question marks. So,
yeah, I think getting Buehler back is gonna be huge for them. But also at the same time, you look at the rotation, and then you look at this past year and who they had as performers. Miller was their best pitcher, then Kershaw, and then you start with the bullpen guys. Then you go with Gratterall, Ferguson, Dustin May, Urias pitched a decent amount of innings, 117 in a third innings pitch. And we're talking about this is a lot of innings for the Dodgers. Like, it's crazy, man. They didn't have a starting pitcher hit 150 innings. Like,
yeah.
If any team can get by with limited depth at starting pitching, it's the freaking Dodgers. They won 100 games on the back of their offense. Like, yeah, their pitching like got them by, but like you said, I think the jury's out on starting pitching's value in the postseason, and I think that's why we always go back to starting pitching. Defense wins you championships. We'll see. The Dodgers can get there. We know they can.
Another question I have with them is their defense. I like their outfield defense. I think I think they have one more bat that they should add. One more bat, and then they're good, is Michael A. Taylor. Because they have a ton of left-handed bats in their lineup. Michael A. Taylor would start against lefties. Fantastic center field defender still. Has some good pop. He'll hit homers with their shallow power alleys. I think that's a perfect addition for them. He can platoon with Hayward, maybe.
Right.
And then that'll add – their outfield defense is already great. Hayward, Outman's pretty good in center. So I think that's not an issue, but their infield defense is a little concerning to me. Mookie, I think he played pretty well at second base this past year. They said he's going to be starting everyday second baseman. I think he could be a solid second baseman, but he's also a little bit older now, and you don't know how long that range is going to last.
Sure.
You've got Gavin Lux coming off of a serious knee injury, I believe, and he's going to be a starting shortstop. He was never a glove first guy at short. He was never supposed to be a vacuum over there. I don't know how he's going to do coming off the injury. The way they talk about him, it seems like he's okay, because they don't have a plan B right now, I feel like they're going full steam ahead with him. So he must be looking good behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And then Muncy at third is he's not a good fielder anymore. He had been a decent third baseman in the past, but he's there to hit homers and draw walks. And I don't know, if you bring in some
strikeout
and you bring in some ground ball guys to pitch, I don't know how well they're going to do with that infield behind them. So my solution for them is Shota Imanaga. I think Shota Imanaga is the Japanese Andrew Heaney, but better. And we all know how Heaney did with them. Heaney pitched the best, his best innings of his life with the Dodgers. Mm. Struck out like 13 for 9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Imanaga is even more extreme. He strikes out more batters, walks less batters, and allows more homers. Mm. Allows more fly balls than anyone I think I've ever seen.
And that's in Japan.
Yes, it's he allowed over a homer per 9 in Japan, which is very hard to do. Oh my gosh, dude.
Bro.
That's really concerning to me, but the strikeouts, listen, it's tough. It's tough to say I'll accept a 40-homer pitcher, but when you don't walk anyone and when you strike people out, you're going to be allowing mostly solo homers. I think I did the video on him a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He allowed 17 homers total, and 14 of those were solo. So it's like, I'll take that. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, I mean, right. You're just a little worried that, I don't know, maybe, but they do have really good contact guys in Japan and with decent walks. There's definitely more of a focus, I think, in the majors on walks than there is in the Japanese league, but that'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. There's definitely a number of different ways the Dodgers could go. There's still plenty of pitchers out there.
There's rumors about a potential Glasnow trade.
Sure. Sure.
Dylan Bieber's yep. on the market. There's guys. Dylan Cease, but I don't know if they have the prospect capital. I don't know if they want to give up the prospects to get a Dylan Cease.
Right, right. Good for them, though. Good for them getting Ohtani. I mean, they got the guy.
Good for them spending $700 million. I love to see all the complaints again about, oh, this is not a fair game, the big market teams. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh, hang on. The Yankees are picking like 26th in the draft next year because we spend over the – We finished like 500 and we're picking last in our – we have the last pick in our division. Mm-hmm. We came fourth in the division. We have the last pick because we spent a lot of money. I think this game is the most balanced it can be without a salary cap. And obviously a salary cap's never coming. So
right, right. Hopefully not. Hopefully. Let's go over to the Yankees now.
Yeah.
Juan Soto. Alex Verdugo as well. Trent Grisham. So the one trade, Juan Soto, Trent Grisham for Michael King. Top pitching prospect, Drew Thorpe. They got Joni Brito and Randy Vasquez, and as well as Kyle Ishikawa, the backup catcher. You hyped? How are we feeling?
Dude, you don't understand. I've been just like every couple of like hours, I think to myself, Juan Soto's a Yankee. This is awesome. And
he fits so well. He fits so well on the Yankees. I love Juan Soto, but like he does, he really does.
You got the porch. Like I don't know what the lineup's going to be like. I personally would put Soto leadoff. I'm not sure if he's comfortable with hitting leadoff, but Soto leadoff, Judge behind him. It's probably going to end up being Soto second, Judge third.
Yeah, that's probably what I would
do. What I don't want to happen is Judge second, Soto third. Because even though Judge would get a ton of pitches to hit.
Right.
I think having Soto hit before Judge, that you could turn that guy into a 50-homer bat at Yankee Stadium if you see that many pitches to hit.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Who do you want leadoff in that scenario?
Tough to say. I guess it would depend on righty left. Against lefties, DJ would lead off probably because he still hits lefties very well and he still gets on base pretty well. The second half of last year, DJ was really good once he was healthy.
Fair.
Against righties, I'm not sure. I guess Verdugo's an option. I don't really want to lead him off. But guy hits he's going to hit 300 against righties, probably going to get on base 35-36% of the time against righties. So
yeah,
that's definitely an option. Maybe Glaber. Glaber had a really good year last year. I think he's in the contract year. I expect him to be even better. So
he's got one more year.
Yeah.
Damn, bro. My gosh, time flies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first off, I mean, the Padres return. Michael King is fantastic, really breaking out this season. Finally got to start some games in the majors, 9 games started, 104 innings total. I mean, the results are there, man. 29K percentage, a 2.75 ERA, 3.13 FIP. He's fantastic. I'm thinking he's a stud going forward. 1 year of Soto as well. From the Padres' point of view, we could talk about an extension in a minute.
Mm.
But how do you feel? Take the hat off. Take the Yankee hat off. Mm-hmm. How do we feel for the Padres right now? Is this a good enough return? Is there ever going to be a good enough return for Juan Soto? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, optimally, you don't want to trade a guy like that away ever.
Of course.
For a team that still wants to contend, like, people gave them a lot of shit for giving Bogarts that contract. Bogarts was pretty good for them this year, especially down the stretch. And I think Tatis, you're going to see from Tatis this year, is going to be similar to what you saw from Acuna this past year, where coming off the ACL, the first year, Acuna struggled a bit with the bat. He was like a little bit above league average.
Fair.
Wasn't really comfortable. He still isn't really comfortable in the outfield. Tatis with the bat wasn't really comfortable. In the outfield, he was the best defender in baseball.
Right.
And if
out of nowhere.
If he gets that 2021 hitting back, that guy's an MVP. Like,
yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So if you could, you're already, if assuming Tatis falls somewhere between 2021 version of himself and 2023 version of himself, you're already getting some of that production back with him.
Right.
And by far their biggest need was pitching. There's was another, like, again, the roster resource. I took a screenshot. They had like Jay Groom was in their projected rotation. He had like a 7 year, you know, Jay Groom, he was a Red Sox guy.
Yeah.
He had a 7 ERA in AAA last year. Yeah. Number 5 starter.
Yo, the walks per 9 was insane. It was like a 7 walks per 9 or something.
There's some weird AAA stuff with like I think they have the challenge and stuff like that. They've had some weird, like the rules are impacting how you can evaluate someone at AAA just from looking at the stats, especially Pacific Coast League, so, or Texas League. So like those leagues are ridiculous in terms of the scoring. So it's kind of tough to just look at the guy, but like 7 ERA is still, regardless of the league, that's still like, all right, I don't know.
Groom's not supposed to be a starter in the majors right now. Like, that's just not happening, man.
He's got a ton of injuries, I know that. He actually
can't happen.
Went to Barnegat High, where my cousin, or a couple of my cousins graduated from. So I've known about him for a while, but
yeah.
I don't think he's ready to start in the majors right now. And
how do you feel about Brito right now?
Brito, I don't know if he's a starter going forward. I think he pitched really well as like a 2 or 3 inning guy with us last year. One thing I want to touch on with the Yankees, near the end of the season when we were kind of out of it, one thing I really enjoyed watching was our usage of our pitching staff. We had a ton of injuries, like obviously Domingo had his off the field stuff. He was done for the year. Rodon kept, like, he was on and off. He kept on getting hurt. He kept on giving us And we ended up going with this weird like proto bulk guys. Like we had Brito and Vasquez would piggyback off each other and give like 5-6 innings every couple of days, and like it worked really well. Like these guys would go through the order once, maybe 1.5 times, and then throw it to the other guy, and then they'd get the same amount of outs as a starter. So all that matters is getting outs, and these guys, I don't think Brito or Vasquez, I don't think either of them are going to be 5-6-7 inning starters in the future.
Right.
But
right,
I think they both have good qualities that you want on your club, especially if you just need to get some outs.
Sure.
King is also, like, I'm not sure how many innings he'll give you. He's probably not going more than 5 innings deep most of the time.
Yep.
But if you, like, all of these guys, just give them a higher baseline of who is going to be pitching today. So no matter what, if you have a solid major league arm, it's better than having a replacement guy from AAA. And you can go, King goes 4 innings today, then Brito goes 3, and then we go to our big dogs out of the bullpen. That's a good game of pitching.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. They also get Drew Thorpe, who is the top pitching prospect in this trade. Played his first year in professional ball this season. Is that correct?
Did he?
I think that's right.
Baseball reference.
I should have had it. I'm fairly positive. Started off in high A and moved to double A, I believe.
Yes, he started off in high A. Was great in high A. What happened?
Yep.
He dominated. We drafted him last year.
Yeah.
And then he didn't pitch any pro ball at the end of last season. So, yeah, this is his first pro season. He was fantastic. He went up to double A, 5 starts at double A, 30, 150 ERA. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's why he won minor league pitcher of the year. And
Right.
It's a good get.
Yeah, it's a good get for the Padres.
I'm not sure if he's in the rotation opening day. He's obviously has 5 starts above high A. So
But
this is a guy that could be in the rotation by midseason if he's looking good in the high minors.
He's moving quick.
That's definitely what they need. Because beyond Musgrove and Darvish, they really don't have much.
It's ugly. It's an ugly back end of the rotation right now. And the hitting isn't quite good enough to really back up a crappy rotation. Mm-hmm. They would need Musgrove to really rebound.
I just had a thought. I wonder if Tatis plays center this year now that Grisham's gone.
It's possible. Honestly, him being really good in right field was so shocking to me. I was just not expecting that whatsoever. With the switch and everything, I just kind of figured, oh, he's just really good with the bat. They'll put him wherever they can. He is an athlete, but it's like, I feel like I've just seen this story before. You know?
I think he had a terrible reputation as a shortstop. He wasn't bad. His first half season he came up in 2019, he struggled a bit. Then 2020, yeah. I think he was all right. He improved year over year at short in terms of range. He still made the errors. He still made like the bad throws, and that was definitely you see those on Twitter or whatever. You think, oh, there he goes, another Tatis error. They called him Tatis 6.
Yeah,
stuff like that. And it's like he developed this reputation as someone who can't play the position. I think he would have been a fine shortstop, which mm-hmm. is definitely valuable. And then obviously they had the opportunity to get Xander, so they move him out to the outfield, and he's one of the best outfielders in baseball now. So.
Yeah,
the speed and the arm came together, perfect mix, and he knows how to read a fly ball. That's all you need for the outfield.
Yeah, and he just needs the bat to rebound. And honestly, he's freaking 24 years old. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna rebound. And even so, he's got the power. He's still got the speed. He's gonna do a 2020 season easy. Yeah. And the only question is whether is he gonna hit 40 bombs or not. You know, it's like. I think also a huge thing for him this year was the playing time. First time getting over, you know, a certain amount of plate appearances. Got to 600 plate appearances this year for the first time in his career. Good for him. He's healthy, which is fantastic. And yeah, you just got to figure he's just going to get better and better. This is his first like runs created plus below like 130 or something. Like he's going to be fine. He's going to be absolutely fine. He's still going to be a stud for the Padres. And at least they get something for Soto. You knew they weren't going to re-sign him. Question is, are the Yankees going to sign him to an extension? What do we think?
He's a Boris client. And
yeah, he is.
Like, the odds are he's not going to sign an extension.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'm assuming if we have a terrible year and he's just not having fun, then there's a good chance he's gone. But based on how we're kind of going all in right now this offseason, mm-hmm. I think we're going to at least make a little playoff run. And if that goes mm-hmm. well, I think he's going to. He has family in New York. I think he has some uncles who live in the Bronx. So of course he's Dominican. Every Dominican has uncles in the Bronx. So he's got family here. I think he just needs to have the feel for it. And if he likes it, he's going to stay. And mm-hmm. obviously if we pay him, and I think we will pay him, we'll pay a guy like that as much money as he needs to stay. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably be like a Judge scenario last year where he hits free agency. There, everyone sweats it out for like 6-8 weeks, and then Heyman puts out a fake tweet about him going to a different team, and then Passan says, nope, he's going back to the Yankees. $450-500 million over it's going to be probably 13, 14, 15 year deal, because he's going to be 26 years old hitting the market. Think of it this way. Judge was 26 his rookie year. Soto's going to hit the market at that age.
Bro, insane. Insane. Yeah, it's I don't think they're gonna sign him to an extension. I think once he rejected 440 mil from the Nationals,
it was pretty much sealed.
I think he likes New York, but I think he's gonna like it more than Washington, but money is money, and the fact that he's a Boris client, I think he's just destined to go to free agency no matter what. I do think the Yankees have as good of an opportunity as anybody to sign him to a huge deal, which is right now looking, I bet you like 550 mil right now. He's probably targeting 600 mil right now.
Yeah. After the Ohtani deal, he's going to,
absolutely right.
Set on a different figure. Probably.
Of course, Boris alone is going to be looking at that deal and going,
his eyes turn into money signs when he saw the notification.
Immediately goes into Mr. Krabs mode. Absolutely. And he deserves it. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. He's so good. He's so consistent. I hate that he's a Yankee. I honestly hate that he's a Yankee. It sucks. You throw him in left field.
Somehow. I don't know where our this disconnect is. Another thing about Soto, I feel like doesn't get talked about enough. He played 162 games last year.
Yeah.
He played every single game. I don't know, like, the Yankees had Glaber and Volpe played every game, and other than that, or almost every game, and then other than that, we had nobody else who was healthy all year. So that was a glaring need for us, was healthy guy.
Right.
And I think that's also why we went out and got Verdugo.
Yep.
Even though Verdugo's kind of a mid player, he's gonna, you know what you're getting from him. He's gonna be there every single day.
Right.
And Stanton or Judge or whoever is probably gonna go down. Verdugo's gonna be pushed into an everyday role at some point.
Right.
And you want that floor to be average rather than a guy from AAA who sucks. And I think that was the problem. We gave so many of those at bats to bad players last year.
Mm-hmm.
Giving that to just an average player makes the team a whole lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously you got the Red Sox-Yankees trade, Verdugo going to the Yankees. A couple good pitchers, interesting pitchers at least, going back to the Sox.
Yeah,
I like the deal for them. Say it again.
Dick Fitz.
Yeah, Dick Fitz, baby. Richard Fitz. You got Greg Weissert, Dick Fitz, and Nicholas Judas. I've always loved Verdugo on the Sox. A couple of years ago, I felt like the potential was definitely higher for, you know, the power to kind of up a little bit, and he could be a 20 homer guy while hitting for a really good average.
Mm-hmm.
The power has not aged.
Yeah.
It hasn't upped at all.
He's a huge ground ball guy.
Huge ground ball. I still love him. I think he's a fun player on a really good team,
mm-hmm.
where he doesn't have to be the star.
Yeah.
If he can hit near the bottom of the lineup, it's fantastic, especially against righties.
I will say that there's a serious concern I have with him is how is he going to look without the beard? I don't think I've ever seen a guy without the beard.
No.
And based on his like facial structure, I feel like it's going to be kind of a rough transition for him. So he might lose some confidence, like the old scouts in Moneyball. Low confidence, not a good ball player. He might struggle a little bit early, but I don't know.
Not,
maybe he'll grow out a mustache or something, get some eye black going. I don't know. Maybe he'll figure
just
out something,
bro. It's the stupidest rule ever. It's so dumb. I'm so over it. I'm so over that stupid facial hair rule.
I think it's funny.
Yeah,
Garrett Cole going from like this scary burly guy to like this Kermit the Frog, like.
It sucks so much, man. The Yankees would be so much scarier if they didn't have this. Like, just let them do whatever they want. Who cares what their facial hair looks like?
The Red Sox literally have won in the last 20 years. The Red Sox have won 2 championships predicated on beards and nothing else. 2004 and 2013 are just beards. Like they had no talent on the 2013 team. Had no talent. They sucked. I don't know how they won. I was looking at this the other day. They came in last place in 2012 and last place in 2014. And they had like Jared Saltalamacchia had like a 130 OPS plus. It's like he's not that good.
It's luck, bro. I mean, how did they beat that Tigers team? I'll never know.
It's because Dombrowski forgot that the bullpen existed.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Well, I mean, Benoit was good enough. I mean, he was good enough. I mean, I know he gives that, but it's David Ortiz, you know? It's like, what are we doing here? I love Verdugo. It's okay. It's okay that we traded him. I'm fine. Who do you want starting in center field for the Yankees?
Starting in center field, I don't know. I think Grisham's going to get most of the reps in center. Maybe Judge.
Yeah.
It'll be a platoon situation. Maybe against lefties, Judge will move over to center.
Sure.
And then I don't know if Pereira makes the team. I don't know if Stan plays any outfield. We have a good problem now, which is six or seven options for three positions, which is better than having one option for three positions, which is what we had last year.
Brett Gardner. Absolutely. It's a good situation to be in. How do we feel about the Yankees rotation? Where do you project them as of right now going into this season? Are they the favorites in the East? What do we think?
East is always tough. To East, like, I'm assuming Toronto goes out and makes a bit. If Toronto was willing to compete financially with $700 million, they're definitely not done yet. They're probably going to make it really for Yamamoto. They might sign Cody Bellinger. Might bring back Matt Chapman. Who knows? They're going to make a splash. They definitely underperformed last year. I'm assuming their ownership wasn't happy. and they're willing to make some moves. So I think Toronto gets better. I think Tampa's always going to be that same, like 95 wins, no matter how many arms they kill, they're going to win 95 games. Baltimore is just at the beginning of their run, and their cheapness might hurt them because their only contract that they're willing to sign is 40-year-old Craig Kimbrell. I'm not sure if they're willing to actually shell out money for legitimate starters. I think that could hurt them, but they're probably going to be high 90s wins again. You guys, I think the Red Sox are probably looking more towards 2025, but you're still not a bad team, obviously. You're still probably going to be at least a 500 club if everything swings the right way.
Right, right.
So it's a tough division to project. Obviously, I would have liked the Yankees as the favorites going to this past year, and then everything went wrong. Mm-hmm. But looking at it now, I think we're not done yet either. If we go out and get Yamamoto, I think we're definitely the favorites. But even if we go out and get Imanaga or another mid-rotation guy, I think that'll solidify us to the point where I'm comfortable calling us the favorites in the division. As of right now, I'd say it's anyone's game, though. But as more dominoes fall, who knows?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to making that prediction episode for the AL East. It's not going to be fun. Because every year I'm just like, but like, what about this? And
Otani, if Otani went to the Blue Jays, I would have had this narrative that the AL East is just like unfair to play in, because this is the best division ever in terms of win percentage last year. And then we added Dodo, Otani, and then in my head, we already have Yamamoto on the Yankees in my head. So we're adding the top three guys that moved all to the East this year.
You're definitely a Yankee fan.
When you think about it,
we already have Yamamoto.
Like the Dodgers just spent their whole bankroll
on
the Mets. No one will play for Uncle Stevie because the Mets have been dumpster diving all offseason. Every day or two, you see a new notification. They signed so-and-so to a minor league contract. It's like, I don't think Stearns realizes yet. He's not in Milwaukee anymore. He's allowed to spend some money.
He doesn't know he's on a different team. Yeah, he's got no idea.
Flogging for giving out an eight-figure salary.
Right, right. The Red Sox trade for Tyler O'Neill from the Cardinals. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Kind of a buy low, high reward type option. Low risk, high reward, really. He definitely has the ceiling over Verdugo, but Verdugo definitely has the floor over him. In the place that the Red Sox are in, they definitely need a righty outfielder. And I'm totally okay with grabbing O'Neill. I kind of really like the switch as well. The guys they trade for, Nick Robertson and Victor Santos, couple righties. Both guys we grabbed from like nothing deals, like just literally pilfered from other teams. Shout out to Heim Bloom. I still miss you. But yeah, I'm happy with O'Neill. I think it's a great trade. I think it's great for the Sox. Obviously, we're still waiting for the rotation. We need at least two guys. I would love Yamamoto. I've never expected Yamamoto because I'm a realistic fan. And I'm hoping for Giolito, maybe Lugo, something like that. But
speaking of dumpster
diver, we'll see.
John Henry is a dumpster diver these days. That guy, ever since he's been comfortable since that 2018 season, man. He's like, oh, we're staying under that luxury tax, man. I'm focusing on Liverpool. I know he sold his Liverpool stake recently, so who knows? Maybe we'll start a full court press soon with the Red Sox. But based on how the division is loaded right now, it probably doesn't make any sense to go all in at this point. But
sure,
this time next year things could be different. 2 years from now, the prospects are panning out, then who knows? Maybe a team will be ready to compete, and that'll be time to spend. But I don't know. I don't see a big splash move like Yamamoto for Boston quite yet. But I do like the Tyler O'Neill move a lot, because that's just someone, if you guys are in it at the deadline and he's hitting well for you guys, he's playing some good outfield defense, he could be a huge part of a sneaky wild card team. But if not, and he's hitting well, then you trade him off, you get some capital back in return for him.
Right, right.
So it's kind of a no lose scenario because you didn't really give him much to get him. And he's a guy that I would have wanted for the Yankees before we made our moves. But again, he does have a floor of just not playing more than 30 games because of health. And that's definitely prevents him from being like a slam dunk move. But for your situation, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy with it so far. I'm still waiting on that rotation. I think Yamamoto would be perfect on the Sox. He fits their timetable so perfectly. It'd be great. It'd be really, really great. I don't think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know who he's going to sign with. Yeah. Like, it's not – Yamamoto's not really a slam dunk with any team right now in my head, I think, which is kind of fun.
His age makes it, like you say, he does fit your timeline in terms of age. But yeah, it's got to be a tough pitch to tell him, like, oh, you're going to come to this division and probably finish last for a year or two before we get really, really start going. But
yeah, it's really tough, dude. I always underrate the Braves. I'm always in on the Blue Jays. And now I've got to, like, really analyze the Orioles and see if this was, like, super legit, which I think a lot of it was. They also need to address their rotation. Like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of guys out there still. There's a lot of guys out there.
Yeah, if the Orioles,
specifically pitchers. The Yankees need it. The Orioles need it. The Red Sox need it.
If, like, John Angelos was willing to open the pocketbook, then Yamamoto would fit them literally perfectly. Like, I don't think
it'd be
up a
so
homer
good
all year in that park. Like, in that left field, you might have like two homers allowed, both down the right field line, and nothing else.
Right.
Yeah, that'll never happen. Because
no,
dude, the way Angelos was talking in like July or August of this year, he was like, "We're not going to be able to keep everyone." It's like, this is year one. What are you talking about, man? You don't say that,
bro. Last year, pre-free agency, they're like, "We're gonna, you know, we're really going to open up the pocketbooks here. We're going to up the payroll. This is going to be good." And he's got me getting hyped. I'm a Red Sox fan. He's got me getting hyped for the Orioles. I'm like, let's go spend some money, add some key pieces to this rotation. And then we get halfway through the winter and he goes, "Actually, I may have misspoke a little bit. I think I went a little too far." It was Mike Elias. "I may have gone a little too far on how much I think we overperformed this past year." He literally said we overperformed in 2022. I'm sorry. What?
I don't know if you've ever been to that ballpark. It is a beautiful ballpark. It's one of
it's top of my list right now. I gotta go.
I went down. I actually drove down there. I saw Angels play. I drove down there literally. It's like a 3-hour drive from my house in Jersey. Yeah. I drove down with my buddy, who's a huge Ohtani fan. We saw the game. Ohtani hit one off the fence beyond the right field bleachers. I don't know if you remember that homer. He started that game too. So he went like 7 innings, allowed 5 runs, and then went like 4 for 5 or something. It was like his a average game for him this year.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
That ballpark is beautiful. That team right now is hype. They could right now, if they're willing to spend money, they could lock up their core like the Braves just did. They could go out and get Yamamoto. They could be a juggernaut in this league for a decade, but they'll never do that because they're cheap.
Right.
And that's just terrible for the game of baseball, in my opinion.
It sucks. It sucks. It absolutely sucks. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, if there's one team that I would still be hyped for them to sign, Blake Snell. Like, I'm totally out on Blake Snell, but if there's one team I'm hyped if they do sign him, it's the freaking Orioles, because they need pitching that badly. And yeah, Blake Snell's still going to be good. We just don't know how much he's going to pitch. Like, he'll give you 130 innings, but, like, that's it, you know, and you're going to pay him like he's a freaking ace, you know?
I listened to you and Cole's podcast a couple weeks ago, and you said that the two times Snell's gone over 160 innings, he's won Cy Young, I think it was, something like that.
It's pretty much, bro. I mean, he's amazing.
If you get 160 innings from him, he's guaranteed to win Cy Young. That's how math that's how you use statistical analysis. It's happened.
That's how it works.
It's going to be 3-for-3.
If it happened twice, it's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if me and you make 2 banger pods in a row,
oh, it means we.
It's going to happen again. Yeah, I mean, this is the third time. Now. We're already in the middle of it. I'm shaking right now. I'm literally shaking. It's amazing. The Orioles do sign a pitcher. They get Craig Kimbrel, 1 year, $13 million. Still had a very good season, honestly. Hey, listen, bro. Hey, I am respecting them. It's a 3.26 ERA, 23 saves for Kimbrel. I mean, 69 innings pitched. 69 is a great number. 33.8K percentage.
That's me snoring, by the way.
Sorry, you're just really quiet.
When I saw that that deal go through, I was rubbing my hands together, man. I was like, I miss having that guy in my division. Every time he came to shut the door for the Red Sox, it was a roller coaster. It was an adventure. Even if we lost the game, it was like we at least made it fun at the end. Every time Kimbrel would come in the game, Gary Sanchez was about 5 feet away from ending Kimbrel's Hall of Fame chances in the 2018 ALDS.
That's what his Hall of Fame career hinges on, is a Gary Sanchez homer?
If he blew that game, you know this for a fact. If he blew that game, we're winning game five. We're not going to lose after that. You know that. And then, like, that, he had a 2-3 run lead going into that inning, and he just, like, walked a bunch of people and almost allowed a game-tying homer. So, like, that, it would have been, that year would have been all his fault. He would have been banished from Boston forever. Right. And then he probably starts his, after that, he struggled for a couple of years in, like, Chicago or wherever, but.
He struggled in Chicago. Looking at his career, though, honestly, I think I underrate him. Like, even being a Sox fan, like, his first year with the Sox, not great. Still below a 4 ERA. I know at the time it wasn't great because we were expecting him to be the best reliever ever.
Was it 2016?
Maybe unfair. It was, 2016, I believe.
In 2017, he was lights out, right?
Yeah. He was really good. Come, you know, the World Series years, 2017, 2018. And he's been good ever since. Yeah, down years with the Cubs.
Him, Jansen, and Chapman are all like this. Their careers have gone almost the same way, where they were just unhittable for the first like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, it was like these guys are like 30, 31 years old. They're not quite the same lull. Guys.
Yep.
Lull for a year or two, but then they're usually a pretty reliable, decent option now. And yeah. I don't know if any of those guys should be closing games anymore. I don't know if any of them are lockdown closers at this point, but they're all still good relievers to have. My only
tough
issue
to say
with someone like Kimbrel is I think you could get his production at this point for a lot less than $13 million. Paying relievers is tough because this could be the year where he just falls off a cliff. You don't know.
I think every year it's possible to, somebody who's getting paid less than Craig Kimbrel is probably going to pitch better than Craig Kimbrel. Mm-hmm. Is that player readily available? I don't know. Kimbrel does. I mean, he still strikes out the world. 33.8 K percentage. Mm-hmm. Still walks the world. 10.1 walk percentage. It hinges on the homers for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just throws the fastball and curve. Like, there's not much to mess around with. He's still got good velocity on the fastball. It's not amazing, but it's 95 still. He's still cruising at 95. And the 3.26 ERA, 3.81 FIP, you know, like, he's good. He's still good.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit of a going from Bautista to Kimbrel, though, is a bit of a
he's not going to replace him. He's not going to replace Bautista. He's not going to give you that, but at least you've got a guy. And maybe Cano steps up for them, starts closing, and you got Kimbrel in the eighth. Mm-hmm. Maybe that works, you know?
Yeah, for sure. My thing with them is I think that I trust their pitching development. This past year or two, they've done a really good job at bringing up guys without too much pedigree and turning them into very good options. And some of the Yankees have done really well in recent years, ever since Matt Blake took over as pitching coach. We've been able to like kind of dumpster dive for these like guys that no one else wanted, but they have good stuff.
Sure.
We like their spin or whatever. And then we bring them in and we teach them command and then they turn out as great relievers. I think Baltimore could kind of do that. And as we know, they're a cheap organization. So I feel like it's a 1 year deal, so it's not the end of the world. $13 million in baseball.
Easy win.
Nothing. But I feel like if they're on that strict of a payroll, then you could definitely find similar production from cheaper options, if you ask me. But
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Man.
If this prevents them from making any other moves, it's a bad move. But if they're still willing to go out there and go get a Blake Snell or go get a Montgomery or whoever, then it's a good offseason for them. That's what they need.
Right. It's tough because we've got an incomplete picture right now. We're trying to judge the team on an incomplete picture. Don't know if they're gonna, you know, continue wheeling and dealing. Like you said, if it does withhold them to making a move, it's like what I've said about the Mariners all offseason with their, you know, money dumping trades. Mm. Are they saving money or are they saving money to make a good deal later?
I'm convinced. I don't think they were too good to not try to win this club. I think the Mariners are going to go out and get at least two bats the way I see things. Their 5-9 lineup is a joke right now. I think I think Soler is a if they either get Soler or Peterson for DH, they had like no DH production last year. They need one of those two guys, and they won't be that expensive because they're only DHs. And then you need an outfielder or a Matt Chapman, pretty much is what they who else they need beyond that. And once you get that, you suddenly have a lineup that's like six deep, which works with how good their pitching is. Right. And then you've also heard rumors Randy Rosarena might be on the block. They are one of the only teams with the pitching that could make that type of move. You trade the Woo over to Tampa. That could be like a little one for one even. I don't know. People like Brian Woo.
I mean, yeah, I like Woo. I don't think it can be a one for one because I think Rosarena is just that good. Mm. I would love for the Mariners to make a move. And listen, DePoto, he's the king of tinkering. He's going to do something. I don't believe he's going to sit in his hands and save this money.
Yeah.
He's going to fill this roster, and I think he's going to make a good enough team.
Yeah. The reaction I've seen with the Mariners fans, I think, has been a little bit of PTSD.
Yes. Where
they're like, oh, we're selling off guys. It's the end of the world. We're selling again. We're not competing. This has happened so many times where they come – like a game or two away from the playoffs. This happened like five times in the last like 10 or 12 years.
I buy in every single freaking time, and I'm ready to get hurt again, baby. The Diamondbacks have signed Eduardo Rodriguez to a 4-year, $80 million deal. How do we feel, bro? You like it?
Love that for them.
Okay. I mean, it's three deep, bro. I mean, they're chilling right now at the top of that rotation. They're looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, my thing with them is I don't believe in this run that they just had. I think they needed to add talent to if they want to be serious, because they have a lot of prospects that are still going to be coming up this year. They have guys that were on the roster this year that aren't at their final form yet.
Sure.
You got MVP candidate Corbin Carroll. You have Gabby Moreno is a great catcher already, and he's only going to get better. But then the rotation was just kind of like, Gallen's really good, but I don't know if he's a number one. I don't know if he's an ace, even though he had a couple of really good years. So I like Gallen. I like him maybe as a borderline ace, maybe number two. Merrill Kelly's getting old. I don't know how much longer he has.
He just had an amazing season, to be fair.
But he also pitched like 250 innings between the WBC playoffs and regular season. So I don't know how much longer that guy's going to be cooking for.
That's Brandon fair. Fought, right, with the postseason as well. Yeah.
Fought was great in the playoffs. He struggled in the regular season. Then he had a great postseason run. I think that opened a lot of people's eyes to him. I know Foolish Baseball was super high on him going into last year, and I kind of bought into that a bit, and then he struggled. So if that playoff jump that he took can be real, then they definitely have a number three or four starter for this next year with a higher ceiling than that.
Yeah.
So then and E-Rod just kind of like anchors them, right? He gives them
– right.
Instead of being two guys with three question marks, they're now three guys with two question marks, and Fought is that a pretty likely question mark to be decent at least. So
at least, yes, yes, yes.
So now that they got four guys now, so it's like that's a good start.
I like E-Rod. I mean, watching him on the Sox, he was always kind of a toss up how good he was going to be.
Watching him
this season, like it was good.
Over the years, you could tell like if he has that curveball working at the beginning of the game, like, oh, he's about to shove. He's about to have a great start.
Right. It's all about if he's able to dot his corners and also own the inside of the plate. He had a good year this year, 330 ERA over 152 innings. Doesn't strike out the world, 23 K percentage, 7 walk percentage. So like nothing, you know, nothing really eye opening there. It's really just if he can limit those home runs. It's a lot of money, $80 million for Eduardo Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. But for the Diamondbacks, I mean, let's just hope it's better than the last starting pitcher big deal that they signed with freaking Mad Bum. I don't think it's going to be like that. But who knows, man?
Mad Bum had thrown like a billion pitches in his career. He signed at like age 28 or something, but he was pitching with like a 45-year-old's arm. At that point. My thing with this year was the reason I wanted the D-backs to win, I just wanted Mad Bum to get his fourth ring. I think that would have been good if he was like at this ring ceremony next year.
Oh man. Another hot up and coming team, the Cincinnati Reds. They get Jaime Candelario, 3 years, $45 million. Did I mean, not a breakout year. He did have a really good 2021, yeah. With a little bit of a down year in 2022. Let's say a comeback year.
Yeah.
3.3 WAR, 117 runs created plus, doing just enough, playing 576 plate appearances, 22 homers, 8 steals. Doesn't hit amazing, but hit fairly well this season. He's another infielder. How does he fit on this team?
My big thing with them is I don't know where this fit is.
Yeah.
Because like this to me indicates that Jonathan India is gone no matter what.
It has to be, right?
I don't think he's and I think he's a great dude. I think they love him there. And I think he's been there. He's only entering, his third or fourth year. And he's already been there longer than most of the guys that have been on this club. So I kind of would have liked to keep him, even though he's a pretty average player and he doesn't do anything with the glove. But Candelario, it looks like he's going to play first for them. And I don't know if he's a big enough bat to play first. So it's kind of a little bit, I'm scratching my head a little bit, but
interesting.
He's not making much money, so it's not really a risky deal.
He's making a lot of money on the Reds, bro.
Yeah, I guess. But
it's a lot of money for the Reds.
They made some pitching signings the other day as well. For like Nick Martinez and
fair.
What's his name? The reliever.
I like Nick Martinez.
From the Twins.
Pagan,
yeah.
Yeah, short, easy deal. No, I like Martinez. I talked about him a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago. Really like Martinez. Yeah, I like that deal a lot. Candelario's weird. It's a weird fit. I would have thought they would go in a different direction. It feels like India is gone. It feels like India doesn't have a role on this team, but also at the same time, how much trade value does he actually have? Yeah. Like
India,
he's not that good right now. He feels like he's a guy I wanted to believe in, but
he's a solid player. He can draw a walk. That's what I like about him. Like he's a solid player. If he could play second base, like half decent, he'd be a good player.
Average.
But that's the issue. He can't. And he was setting up to be their first baseman this year. And now Candelario is going to be that because they have. Like Candelario is a good third baseman too, and that's why it's kind of strange to me because they have right now their situation is probably Ellie's playing shortstop, Marte's playing third, or Encarnacion Strand's playing third, and then McLean at second. Like they have so many infielders that Candelario just doesn't make any sense at third when you have it doesn't make any sense to move one of those young guys over to first or to DH a Marte because Marte has speed and arm talent, so it's like you have to play that guy at third.
Sure.
So they might have to kick someone out to left field or right field. Who knows? But
this could be indicative of how bad the hitting market is. Just in terms of like they wanted somebody that they know is going to start at first base every single day.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe they looked around and said, "Well, Candelario is going to be the most affordable and going to give you a good enough bat."
Yeah, I mean,
471 slugging, like it's nothing to scoff at, but it's nothing to really.
He'll hit some homers. He'll get the job.
Right.
It just gives some more depth.
I think it is. It's very indicative of how bad this hitting market is because it's rough out there.
I see a world where they take a look at what they have, and right now I think someone like Christian Encarnacion Strand is positionless right now on this team. He might see a DH. Right. I love his bat. I love his ceiling as a hitter. I think he could be like a 40 homer guy if everything goes correctly for him.
Sure.
But I don't know where he fits on this club. I could see him.
DH?
Yeah, you could DH him, but I could also see him being moved in a deal for a Glasnow. I could see him being moved in a deal for a Cease. There's pitching options out there. Bieber. Like there's these pitching options out there. The Reds need pitching and they have this glut of infielders. I could see one of these, like the fifth or sixth infielder on this club being the keystone in a trade for a true ace or a number two starter that the Reds kind of need right now.
Yeah. Except, you know, the White Sox are probably going to be asking for DeCruz or McLean or something for Cease. They're going to be asking for the big guns.
White Sox would have Ellie De La Cruz hitting the ball square into the ground 85% of the time. They have him doing like a little, what are they doing softball? Like the slap hits, like when they on they slap it. They'd have Ellie De La Cruz doing that because he's fat,
and it'd still go out.
90-year-old coach over there or whatever. He's like, oh, you gotta hit the ball into the ground. See,
is that how they sound? That's crazy. I've never actually heard them sound. So I've never actually heard them talk before.
Like, they're all from like the Al Capone era.
Right, right. White Sox did just get Max Stassi from the Braves, actually. He's been kind of tossed around. Like
the first trade we talked about, the Stassi and Fletcher trade.
Yeah. Didn't really talk about it, did we? Yeah, Eli White going to the Angels. Yeah.
It's just a lot of money moving around.
Yeah, it's right. It's a lot of nothing. Victor Gonzalez also got dealt to the Yankees. He was a decent reliever for the Dodgers. Dodgers had to clear space for Joe Kelly and Shohei Ohtani, I guess. Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
We traded Trey Sweeney, who some people he was a first round pick a couple of years ago, and some people like him as a prospect. Some people don't. He's still in Double A. He's about to be 24, and he had 770 OPS this year in Double A. So nothing was jumping off the page. I don't know if he's going to stay at short or not. I don't know if he has MLB home run power. We got back Vivas, who's a younger second base prospect who was in AAA this year and is also taking up a 40. The only difference really in terms of value, I think, is that he was on the 40-man roster already. And apparently we like him more as a prospect than we like Sweeney. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done this deal.
Yeah.
But I could
That's fair.
The way I see the Yankees going, if I'm being honest, I can see a world where Glaber has a good year this year. We need to extend Soto. We want to go out and get maybe a Murakami from Japan to play first base. Mm. I don't know if Glaber fits in our future plans. So I could see Vivas or Peraza being the second baseman of the future once Glaber leaves.
Mm.
And that's
Do you believe in Peraza that much?
I think our team, I don't like Peraza personally that much as a bat, but I think the way our team views him is, we've obviously viewed him very highly if we haven't traded him yet.
Right.
So it's hard to say, but I think we're setting ourselves up for options.
Okay.
The field of the future.
That's fair. Any final thoughts on Juan Soto, his smile, his swing, you know?
Great personality for the Bronx, man. I will say, everyone's saying, oh, he's going to struggle for a month and he's going to get booed. I feel like Juan Soto is someone who hears the boos and goes yard. Like he feels like that type of guy. This guy couldn't legally buy a beer and he was the best player in that World Series. Like he was hitting homers off of like Justin Verlander in the World Series. He was 20 years old, man. He was like
pimping him.
That was pimping. That World Series was awesome. That whole postseason was incredible in 2019.
Pimping like 99 mile per hour like fastballs on the black that are called for balls. Like he's pimping those. Like it just the nut grabs. Like it's so good, bro. It's so good. Like who's showing off? Who's showing off on a curveball that misses in the zone? Like it just what?
He's a 20-year-old with more character than the sport has had in so long, and I love that. Having him in the Bronx, like as much as you love him and as much as you hate this for personal reasons, it's good for baseball to have a guy like that in a market like New York.
Should have been the Mariners.
Oh yeah.
Should have been, bro. I would have freaked out. Oh my goodness. Congratulations.
Don't worry. They're getting Randy.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Listen, I'm rooting for the Mariners right now, bro. I want it. Yeah. I want it for him. You know? Yeah. Good for the Yankees. They're in a really good position. To say that they're a favorite, I don't know, bro. I don't know yet. It's not a finished product. There's still a lot of great players out there. We'll see what happens. And that's the story that's been this offseason. We're going to see what happens. We'll see where Yamamoto goes. Listen, Shohei signs. Let's see where Yamamoto goes. If he signs with the Yankees, I'll have you on next week. And we'll... I'll let you have your moment again, I guess.
I'll be back. I'll be back to rub that in your face if you sign Yamamoto in the next 6 days.
Nah, I'm quitting the pod if that happens.
On record?
Guys.
Is that an official declaration? I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, like.
I control the editing, okay? I can do whatever
I'm telling you, I would not be shocked if we went out and got him like in this next week or two.
How much has your belief in Brian Cashman gone up?
It's always been there. I think people give Cash all really? Shit. I definitely didn't like the way we entered this year with no left fielder, and I didn't like the way we entered 2022 with no shortstop. But if you look at his track record with the trades, he's lights out with trading. He does not give up guys that end up being super high impact players, and he gets back guys from like the from a, like a relief pitching standpoint, he's fantastic at building a bullpen. His record with trades is great. His record with free agency is pretty good, other than like Ellsbury. But that was kind of a weird time for the Yankees where we just wanted to keep something going that wasn't going anymore. This guy, we have never been under 500 once under this guy. Everything went wrong this year, and we won 82 games. This is like, I think you have to have faith. And this, the our farm right now, we just traded. We lost three guys in the Rule 5 draft, three arms. We traded you guys a couple of arms. We traded San Diego a bunch of arms. And we still have a really good, like, we still have Chase Hampton still here. Will Warren still here. We still, like, this is a perpetual pitching development. Is going to keep on going forever to the end of time, the way he set it up. And I think that's kind of happening with our hitting too, the way our minor league hitting stats have improved in the last 3 years. So I trust him. I trust him 100%. I think he gets a lot of shit because of this past year's struggles, but a lot of it has to
do
with his restrictions with payroll. And I think this year was kind of a wake up call to ownership that for the Yankees, we can spend this money. We should spend this money. And that's why I think we're getting Yamamoto.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
I respect it. Juan Soto is fantastic. He fits the team so freaking well. I wanted you guys to overpay Cody Bellinger so bad and miss out on Soto.
They were calling him.
Say it again.
They're calling him Yankees fans. They call him Jacody Bellinsbury.
Yes, yes. I have heard that. I have heard that one. Not a one-to-one comparison, definitely not. Not many people are Jacoby Ellsbury. Not many people are as good when he was good, and not many people are as
he wasn't even
non-existent.
When he wasn't bad with us. He just like didn't show up for his last 3 years. That was
he's just gone. He just didn't play. Just didn't play whatsoever.
He was like leading off for the 2017 team that almost went to the World Series. Yeah. Like he was on that club.
Yeah, he was still fun. Yeah. He was still fun. Oh, Jacob, dude, thanks for doing this, man. All right, plug your stuff. Guys, listen, he makes banger YouTube videos. Yep. Just the thumbnails alone, fantastic, bro. Takes a lot of pride in them. Plug your stuff, bro. Where can people watch your vids and interact with your tweets, bro?
And That's Baseball on YouTube. Just search it up and then watch my most recent stuff. I did a Trout video a couple of weeks ago. That's doing crazy numbers right now, and I think it's deserved. It's like a half an hour history of his entire career and what makes him so special and what makes his career so tragic. The fact that he's never won a playoff game. I think it's a tragedy. A lot of people gave me shit for that title, actually. And I think it's more about, it's a tragedy for me as a fan that we never got to see him in the playoffs. It's not a tragedy for the guy who's rolling in money.
Right. He can do whatever he wants.
Also go to my Twitter at and that's BB, where you can see my, I tweet annoying like a lot too, depending on how my sports teams are playing.
Sure. Yes. A little emotional.
We're shooting this on Monday, December 11th. The Giants play in a couple of hours. I'll probably put out a couple of Giants tweets during that game, which is like, nobody cares. They're following me for baseball information. I'm going to tweet something about, like, I don't know who's a player. I'm kind of checked out in the season. So maybe not, but. But there's been times where I will spam tweet the Giants game as it's going on. But yeah, I do tweet occasionally some good info about when I'm like researching. I'm doing a video on my next video is going to be on Hall of Fame one and done players. And guys that probably deserve another chance. Guys like Kenny Lofton, Lance Berkman's one of those guys that I think deserved a real look. So as I researched for these videos, I'm about like halfway or two-thirds of the way done with the script. As I research through, I'll be tweeting out information that doesn't make the cut in the video, but that's stuff I find interesting. So go on Twitter, check that out.
Nice, bro. Nice. I love it. No, honestly, the YouTube videos are fantastic. If you guys have been following this podcast, you've been following And That's Baseball. I mean, the rise has been fantastic, and I love to see it. I love to see it. The quality continues to go up, and I can't wait to see how it continues to go up going forward, coming in 2024. Holy crap, it's gonna be fantastic. All right, guys, that's it for the pod. We'll see you back next Tuesday.
Tuesday when Yamamoto's Yankee.
Yeah, of course. Oh yeah, Yankee. Yep, totally. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I'll see you back next week. Have a good one. Just put me in the game.